Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I'm glad to be with you again today or tonight or whenever it is that you listen to your Bible school lessons. But before we get into the lesson, let's go before our Father and let's ask Him to guide us. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us who teaches us. Holy Spirit, you are there, and we are aware of that. We are aware of the fact that you are there to give us revelation, and we expect and trust and ask, Father, you, through your Holy Spirit, you right now to give us revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, and we are teaching on foundation for Bible basics, It says in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. The resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. What I want to teach on right now is the last doctrine, the last foundational doctrine for Bible basics. And you can go with me to Revelations, the 20th chapter. We have the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the part about the rapture. I already mentioned it, because we're going to have a complete class on end times, and when we get into the teaching on end times, we will cover the resurrection of the dead in reference to the rapture. But I do want to talk about the part of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Revelations, the 20th chapter and verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Notice, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So we have a book called the Book of Life, and then we have another book that has to do with works. Every man judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I know that this is not something that a lot of people like to talk about, but it is absolutely a fact that there will be those that reject Christ, those that are not found in the book of life, those that are cast into the lake of fire. Aren't you glad that that is not your destination? No, it's not. Because you're born again. You're in Christ. You are a believer. And you and I were going forth, and God is working through us to bring as many people out of that condition as we can. It's not the will of God that anyone go to hell. It's not the will of God that anybody spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price for sin, to become sin, so that we could become righteous, so that heaven and a new heaven and a new earth would be our future. There are three hells mentioned in the New Testament. It's very important that you know this. Sometimes when you think of the word hell, you just think of one place, just think of a fiery place. But there's actually three, three hells mentioned in the New Testament. Three Greek words for the word hell. We have number one, Hades. Hell, Hades. The Greek word for hell is the word Hades, spelled H-A-I-D-E-S. That's the Greek word. And this is the place that all unbelievers go to immediately after they have died, awaiting. They are waiting for this eternal judgment. It's like a prison. It's like a holding tank. Just like in the Old Testament, there was that place called Abraham's bosom, which was a holding tank for all the believers of the Old Testament. They couldn't go to heaven in the Old Testament because they had not received eternal life. And so they went to that place called Abraham's bosom. It was a place of protection. There was a gap or a gulf between where they were at and the place called Hades, or the place called hell in the Old Testament. Hades is like a prisoner. It's like a holding tank for unbelievers that are waiting their final judgment. And at that final judgment, they will go before what is called the Great White Throne. That's not the place you and I are going to go to. We are not going before the Great White Throne. We go before another place called the Judgment Seat of Christ. It's actually should have been translated the Reward Seat of Christ. That's where you and I are going to go. That's the throne that we will stand before, is the Judgment Seat of Christ, or the Reward Seat of Christ. The unbelievers are going to go before the Great White Throne. And at the Great White Throne, they will be judged according to their works and cast into the lake of fire. And that brings us to the second Greek word, the second Greek word for hell. And that's Gehenna. It's Gehenna. It's spelled G-E-H-E-N-N-A. G-E-H-E-N-N-A, or Gehenna. This is the lake of fire. This is the place where there is weeping. This is the place where there's gnashing of teeth. This is also referred to the outer darkness. It's a place for the final judgment of Satan, fallen angels. It's the place of final judgment. This is the place where Satan is going to finally end up. Fallen angels will be cast into this place. Demon spirits will be cast into this place. To this place, and all unbelievers. No, not all unbelievers are there yet, but they will end up eternally in this place called the Lake of Fire. And then the third hell that is mentioned is the place called Tartarus. Tartarus. It's spelled T-A-R-T-A-R-O-S. That's Tartarus. T-A-R-T-A-R-O-S. And this place, Tartarus, is a part of Hades. It's an abyss, or it's a part of Hades that is where fallen angels that followed Lucifer. When Lucifer fell from heaven to the earth, the Bible tells us that a third of the angels that fell with him. A third of the angels fell with Lucifer when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. And they are kept right now in this place called Tartarus. This is what the book of Jude teaches us. Book of Jude, it says that they are in this place called Tartarus, reserved for judgment. That they're locked up in the chains of darkness, or the chains of Tartarus, reserved for judgment. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. What about the Old Testament saints that died in faith? What about these Old Testament saints that died in faith? And I want to study these three different hells with a little bit more detail. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 39. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Now remember that in the Old Testament, the means of salvation is faith. the means of salvation in the New Testament is faith. Faith in what? Faith in the coming Redeemer. Faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. In the Old Testament, they had not received the promise of the Spirit. They had not received the Zoe life of God. They had not received the new birth. They were saved on credit. And because of that, they could not go to heaven in the Old Testament. They had to go to another place called Abraham's bosom, waiting to be resurrected. And these all, having obtained a good report, again in verse 39, through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing. Hallelujah. That's for you and I. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What he's saying here is that these Old Testament saints that died in faith, faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus and in the one that would come as the Savior, and putting their faith in him that would come and become their Savior, they had to wait. They had to wait until the time that Jesus actually came, till the time that he actually died on the cross and paid the price for sin. Well, you and I are living in a time after Jesus' redemptive work. And so we have received the new life. We have received the promise. We have received the new birth. They had to wait until our time. They had to wait until the time that Jesus came in order to be born again. And that's what verse 40 is saying. God, having provided some better thing, we have a better thing. We have a better covenant. We have a better relationship than what they did in the Old Testament. That they without us should not be made perfect. They had to wait for this time, the time of the promise, the time of the church age, the time where they could receive eternal life. They had to wait until after the resurrection, or until after the crucifixion, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see what happened to the Old Testament saints when Jesus was crucified. Let's go to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a place in the Old Testament that all the Old Testament saints went to called Abraham's bosom. This was a place of protection in Hades. There was a great gulf between this place and the place of Hades where the Old Testament people went that were not believers, that did not put their faith in what the sacrifice stood for, and that was the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. In Luke 16 and verse 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. In this verse, we see that Jesus is speaking in specifics. He is not giving a parable, but specifics. He calls this a certain man, meaning that this actually happened. This was not a parable, but this is something that actually happened. Jesus saw this happen. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We have two extremes here. We have the rich man, and this rich man has lived in his riches all of his natural life. Every day he's enjoyed the riches. Every day he's enjoyed financial gain, financial prosperity. And then we have another man that is a beggar. That's Lazarus. He's got sores. He's sick. He desires to be fed just with the crumbs. He's a very poor man. But yet this poor man, even though he is so poor and sick, his destination was much better than the rich man who lived in pleasure all of his life. Now, Jesus is not teaching us here that we are supposed to be poor, that it's the will of God that we be poor. But the point is, you can be poor and have eternal life. You can be rich and not have eternal life. You can be poor and sick and end up eternally in heaven. You can be rich and have all the pleasures of the world, all the pleasures of the of this life, and end up in hell. The most important thing is that we have put our faith in Jesus, that we are born again. And so this poor man, Lazarus, ends up in this place called Abraham's bosom. The rich man ends up in the place called Hades. In verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Angels had a part to play in the death of the Old Testament believer. They took this man to Abraham's bosom. It's the same way in the New Testament. When a person dies, there's been testimonies that people have shared that they've died and they've been taken by angels to heaven. They do have a part to play in our death when we die physically, or a believer dies physically. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. This word hell is the Greek word Hades. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. There's a couple of things that we can see here in this passage of Scripture. We see that in the spirit, we do have shape. We do have form. We are recognizable. There are people that say, you know, well, what does my spirit look like? What do I look like in the spirit? Well, in the spirit, if you're born again, you're perfect. And not only are you perfect, God lives in you. Not only does God live in you by the Holy Spirit, but your spirit has a bodily form. Your spirit is recognizable. This rich man had a finger, he had a tongue, he had shape, he was recognized the same way with you in the spirit. Verse 26, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. So here we see that there is a gulf between Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is like a womb. It's like a place of protection. There's a great gulf fixed, or there's a great gap between this place called Abraham's bosom and Hades. And this is the place that all the Old Testament saints went to. No, people that die today do not go to this place. They go directly to heaven. But in the Old Testament, they could not do that because they had not received eternal life. They were only saved on credit, waiting for Jesus to come, to die on the cross, to pay the price for sin, so that they could be born again, so that they could receive this life, so that all the sin would be removed from them in the spirit. So they were simply in this place of protection in hell, waiting for the Redeemer to come, waiting actually to be raptured. They were going to be raptured out of Abraham's bosom. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So there's no way that those that were in Abraham's bosom could pass over to that place of torment called Hades. And there's no way that the people that were in Hades could get out of that place called of Hades and go to Abraham's bosom. It's the same way today. There's no way. You know, it's in this life that we have to make the decision to release our faith in God's Redeemer, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we put our faith in the Redeemer. You have to do it in this life. You cannot wait. There's no chance. When people leave this life and they have left this life rejecting God's answer for sin, there is no chance for them again to receive eternal life. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. I mean, look at this man. He's in this place called Hades, and he doesn't want his family to end up there as well. Wonder what kind of example that he had set in front of them. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So they had the same chance under the Old Testament that everybody else did. The Word of God was there in the Old Testament. The prophets spoke in the Old Testament. The law of Moses was there in the Old Testament. Everybody had a chance. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It doesn't matter how many signs and wonders. Everybody has to make a decision. Everybody has to make a decision. He said they could have signs, they could have wonders, somebody could come back from the dead. It's the same way today. It was the same way during Jesus' time. It was the same way during Moses' time. There are always signs and wonders to show people that God is alive, that he's real, and that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Redeemer. Everybody has to make a choice based upon those things. If they don't, Hades is their destination. Aren't you glad you're not going there? Aren't you glad that you've made that choice? And you and I, we're going to continue to go out there and tell as many people as we can that Jesus Christ is their Savior. He is the one that's paid the price for their sins so that they can, too, be born again and know God as Father and spend eternity in heaven with the Father God. Hallelujah. In relationship with the Father God. Oh yeah, not only heaven, but we're coming back as well. There's going to be a new heaven and earth, a new atmosphere around this earth, and this earth is going to be completely restored, recreated, and in the future, we're going to have the ability to do both. We're going to have the ability to go to heaven and come back to this earth. We're going to travel in spirit time. Isn't that powerful? Well, Acts, the second chapter, And in Acts, the second chapter, we see that David prophesies about Jesus coming to this place called Abraham's bosom. Jesus would go to this place called Abraham's bosom. He would go to Abraham's bosom and minister eternal life or give eternal life all to all of these Old Testament saints. Peter makes reference to this on the day of Pentecost, Acts, the second chapter, and verse 21. This is Peter's message that he preaches on the day of Pentecost. There are 120 people, along with the disciples, that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are out on the streets of Jerusalem. They're speaking with other tongues. They look like a bunch of drunks. And Peter, in the middle of all of this outpouring, stands up and preaches a salvation message to a crowd that is gathered around to see what is taking place. In Acts 2, in verse 21, this is part of the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 25. Now here is where we see that David prophesied in the book of Psalms, and this is actually found in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. You can write that down. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11 is a reference to the prophecy that David gave about Jesus going to this place called Abraham's bosom and Jesus going to hell. In verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him," concerning Jesus, the one that raised up, the one that hell could not hold. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." David was not going to spend eternity in this place called Abraham's bosom. He would be in this place called Abraham's bosom, which was a place of protection in hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ would not spend eternity in that place called hell. He would not see corruption for the rest of his life. He was going to resurrect. This is exactly what he was prophesying. Verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." He was talking about a time that Jesus was going to come to this place called Abraham's bosom. He was going to appear there, and David would be full of joy. Well, what's the first thing that comes into a person when they are born again? It's joy. I remember when I got saved, I was 7 years old. I was so excited. Something came on the inside of me and changed me. And I had a great joy, such a great joy. And I'm sure it was the same for you. Such a great joy to know God as Father, to have this wonderful eternal life imparted into us. And so Jesus, he did go to hell. Jesus, he did go to this place called Abraham's bosom, and he imparted eternal life into David and all of those Old Testament saints that died believing in the one that would come. That was the Lord Jesus to pay the price for man's sin. Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." David prophesied Jesus coming to hell and then Jesus resurrecting. Hallelujah. Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God. This was sworn by an oath. This was a promise of the Old Testament. The promise of the Old Testament was that there would be a coming Redeemer that would pay man's price for sin. He would resurrect and he would be seated on the throne. Where is Jesus right now? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's seated on the throne of heaven, representing you and I before our Father, our intercessor. "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ," now look at this, "that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore," or "of, we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear." Jesus received his life back. There's a verse where Jesus said that he had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. Jesus laid down his life when he died upon the cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At that time, he had laid down his righteous life. He went to hell, and the Bible says that hell could not hold him. In fact, that word, that term, hell could not hold him. Let's go back to the verse that we were reading in the beginning, verse 24 of Acts 2. It says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains," this is the birth pangs of death, "because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." This term, beholden of it, is the same term that is used for for a woman that has a miscarriage? Well, hell, once Jesus took his life back when he was in hell, hell could not hold this life. And what happened? He got resurrected. He resurrected. He came out. He got rejected by that womb of hell. He came out of that place. Hell could not hold a man with this eternal life. There was nothing that hell could do to hold him. And Jesus came out of that place of hell. And on his way out, he stopped by the place called Abraham's bosom, which was on the other. He stopped by here. He went to the other side of this place that was where there was a gulf between Hades and Abraham's bosom. He crossed over the gulf. He went and imparted eternal life to all those Old Testament saints. They received that eternal life. And what happened? There was a rapture. They were raptured right out of that place. And some of them got their bodies on the way up. Matthew 28 teaches that there were some people that had died and that had been buried, that when Jesus resurrected on Resurrection Day, they also came out of the graves and resurrected with him. Isn't that powerful? Wow. So in verse 31, Acts 2 and verse 31, it says, he seen this before, spake of the resurrection. Well, David saw this. He saw this prophetically. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Let's go to another place in the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Matthew, and we're going to see another reference to Hades, the book of Matthew. Hades. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse 23, Jesus is speaking here and says, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt thou be brought down to hell? For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Well, I see that our time has come to an end for this teaching today. We will continue on with this part of Foundation for Bible Basics in our next lesson. We are teaching right now again on the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. It's been wonderful to be with you. I trust that you've learned today. I trust that you've received revelation. And I trust that you are so thankful for this eternal life that you have, and to know that you are not going to hell, and to know that God loves you so much that he gave his son Jesus, that you would not have to go there, that you and I, that we could spend eternity in relationship with God as our Father, and eternity in heaven and the new earth that is to come. Father, I just thank and I praise you for each and every student. I thank you again for this opportunity that I've had to be able to minister your word unto them through this Bible school. And I thank you, and we thank and praise you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Mark Irvin, and I look forward to being with you in our next time that we have together.